See, I have a friend who is always so near. If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, for I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon what never changes. Deep, but we're just human and we're so weak. Take it from me, when the road gets rough, he'll be there to pick you up.
If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, for I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon
what never changes.
If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye. If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, for I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon
what never changes. Stand upon what never changes.
Amen. Thankful for that. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed the good special singing today. I like to come to church and hear good singing. I like it when people use their talents for the Lord. I like to sing. I can't sing good, but that doesn't stop me from liking to sing, you know. And I believe when you're saved, you have a song. I just believe that. And whether you can sing good or not, you just sing, you see. Sometimes you kind of lock yourself away so that no one will get offended. And you just sing, right? You just sing. You sing to the Lord and tell him how much you love him in song, and you just praise the Lord for his goodness. God is good to us. God is good to us. I want to do a couple of things. First of all, I want to start out by saying we have a lady in our congregation today that has turned 85 years young yesterday, and that is Miss Christine Dobbins. And this lady is just a good Christian, and she's just a blessing to our church. And I just praise God for her. And I'm glad that God has given her the health and the strength. She gets around for 85. And she gets around like she's about 65, maybe 60. And I'm glad for God's good health. We appreciate you, Sister Dobbins. What a blessing you have been. And we wish you a happy birthday. And I trust that this will be the best you've ever had. Amen. And then I want to say something to the church. I appreciate Fellowship Baptist Church. It's a great church, really is. And when I say that, I don't mean, you know, the building or the framework or anything else. I mean you. You're the church. I thought about this past week how God has blessed us. God has blessed us. And I believe that Fellowship Baptist Church has a great relationship in all facets. We have a great relationship with the Lord. We have a great relationship with leadership. We have a great relationship with one another. And for that, I believe God is pleased. I see a lot of fighting and a lot of bickering. And I'm not saying we're perfect. You know that we're not. You know you're not. I know you're not. You know I'm not. I know I'm not. We're not perfect. But as a pastor and parishioners, as followership and leadership, we have a good working relationship. And I think that's very important to the health and the direction of a church. I think a church can go a lot further when they pull in the same direction, when they set aside their own personalities and their own to-dos and to-likes, and we realize that we're in this for the purpose of the kingdom of God. This is not about me. It's not about you. It's not about this family or that family. Brethren, this is about one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. He is wonderful. He's wonderful. And I'm so thankful that I know him. He's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to me. His name is the most wonderful name in all of heaven and earth. What a lovely name. The name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, captives have been set free. At the name of Jesus, those that are in bondage under the lash of taskmasters have been delivered. Amen. At the name of Jesus, the sick have been made whole. Yeah. At the name of Jesus, those that were going astray have been brought back to the fold. Amen. In the name of Jesus, sweetest name that's ever rolled upon a mortal tongue is the name of Jesus. Amen. And I just want to take this opportunity this morning to bless His holy name. Amen. All that is within me, I want to bless the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. I am so grateful that I know Him. I know Him. It used to be just a name, but now I know Him as my Savior, my friend, my pilot. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. We talked about that in Vacation Bible School. The theme of our school was Navigate. I'm glad that Jesus is the captain of my ship and of my salvation, aren't you? Jesus is wonderful. If you are here today and you do not know Him, now I'm not asking if you know about Him. There was a time in my life when I did not know about Him, ignorant to Jesus. I recall as we were, my family and I, when I was living at home, I was probably 14 years of age, somewhere in that age range. And my mother and stepfather and my siblings and I, riding down the road, there was a rescue mission on the side of the road. And on that rescue mission, there was a cross out front. And in the cross part of the cross, it had Jesus. And then after it had J-E, and on that S on Jesus, it went down and said, saves. I was so ignorant to Jesus Christ that I thought that that said Jesus Avenues. I do not say that to be funny. I say it to let you know that there are people right in your backyard. There are people that live in your community. There are people that work next to you who do not know this wonderful person that I speak to you about this morning. They've heard about Him, they know about Him, but they do not know Him. And perhaps someone has come this way today who knows about Him but does not know Him. It is my sincere prayer that you will know Him today. And if He comes and He speaks to you in a personal way, don't turn Him away. He only bids to do you good. He only bids to give you fulfillment in life and purpose, forgiveness of sin, and an eternal abode in a place called heaven, which is a place prepared for prepared people. And you can make that preparation today if you will come to Christ that you might be saved. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, began to express to them his heart. The Apostle Paul had a special place in his heart for all the churches that he planted and that he started. You can turn to chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, and you'll find in verse number 1 of chapter 4 something that is very, very dear. I thought about Fellowship Baptist Church. I thought about myself as the pastor. I thought about what God is doing here when I began to study this church and the planning of this church. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 1, Paul said, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown." I believe Paul is saying here, you're my joy on earth, you're my crown in heaven. I believe he's saying, while on earth, when I think of you, joy bursts in my heart. And one day when we all get together on yonder shore, you will be the crown of my rejoicing, because I have won many of you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, as we shall see here in just a moment. He said this in chapter 4 and verse number 1. He said, "Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." And that would be my exhortation to you today. I love you. I love Fellowship Baptist Church. I love this place. I love you as a people. And I believe that we love one another. And I believe with all of my heart we have a love for God. God wants to do great and mighty things here. And God has done great and mighty things. But I don't think God is finished. When God gets finished, He'll do one of two things. He'll either remove me and take me, or He'll remove us and take us. I believe that with all of my heart. But until that happens, I believe God is going to continue to work. He'll either continue to work through me as the pastor and leave me here, or He'll take me on and replace me, and the church will go forward. This church is not bound to me. This is not my church. Jesus Christ purchased this church. You have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And don't you ever underestimate what that means for you. Don't you ever sell yourself short for what God can and will do in your life, if you will allow Him to. Now I want to talk to you about this church at Philippi. I want to preach some messages to you over the next several Sunday mornings out of the book of Philippians. I like to take a book and go through it. I think it's very important to do that. I think it's very important that we not only understand Scripture, but we understand Scripture in the context in which it's written. And so for that purpose, I like to study books together. We've studied the book of Philippians together as a church, the book of James, the book of Galatians. We've studied the book of 2 Peter. We've studied the book of Numbers. We're studying the book of Leviticus on Wednesday nights. We've studied books in the Bible. Now, I think that's important because I believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All Scripture, not just your favorite passage, not just my favorite passage. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I think it's good that we understand the whole counsel of God. How can we do everything that God said do if we do not know everything that God has said? Right? We need to get in the book. We need to learn what God is saying. We need to study together. And so if you're one of those people who say, "Well, you know what? I would read the Bible more if I could just understand it." Then you set aside a time every Sunday morning to come to Fellowship Baptist Church, bring your Bible and open, and let's study together. You set aside a time every Sunday night and you come to Fellowship Baptist Church and you bring your Bible and you open it up and we'll study it together. You set aside a time on Wednesday night and you come to Fellowship Baptist Church and you bring your Bible and you open it up and we'll study it together. So, "Well, I'm interested in study." Well, then you come to the house of God and we'll open up the Bible and we'll study it together. Amen? We'll find out what God said. Why? So we can know more about Him and so we can do what He's left us here to do. Now, Paul wrote 9 letters. Listen to me carefully. 9 letters. Count them. 9 letters to churches. But now he only wrote 7 churches, because there were some churches too that he wrote 2 letters to. He wrote 2 letters to the church at Corinth, and he wrote 2 letters to the church at Thessalonica. But he wrote 7 churches. He wrote of those 7 churches, he sent them 9 letters. I do not believe that there was any church or any letter that was more endearing to the heart of the Apostle Paul than the book of Philippians. Paul spoke to them with love in his heart. You can just see, as Paul was speaking to them, you can just see the care. You can just see the love, the joy that this church brought him. I want to tell you how this church was founded. All right? I want to, before we get into studying about what Paul is saying to these people, I want to tell you how he met them. See, I think it's very important. I love to do that. I'd love to go back in Paul's missionary journeys and see where Paul started the church at Corinth in Acts chapter number 18. See where he started the church at Thessalonica in Acts chapter number 17. And you can find where he started the church here at Philippi in Acts chapter number 16. If you'll follow and trace Paul's missionary journeys, you'll find where Paul is going to places and he's preaching the word of God and he's planting churches. Do you see these flags that are around this building? That's what we're involved in. We're involved in church planting, world evangelism. We're involved in missionary endeavor, no different than what the Apostle Paul was when he and his missionary team went to different areas planting churches by preaching the gospel message of Jesus Christ and people coming to know him as their personal Savior, establishing a church and then grounding them in the faith. See, that's what God is doing right here. That's what God is doing here. Just like God called out from the church there in Antioch, I believe one day God is going to call out from here. And he's allowing us already to participate in world evangelism. One day, I believe that God is going to call out from here and is going to start sending people out. Sending people out to places of the world. I want to give you some things. Now, in order to do that, let's look at one more time the way the book of Philippians opens. And then I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts 16. I'll give you 3 points and I'll be through this morning. But listen to me carefully. Philippians chapter 1. Paul, now notice this next name, Timotheus. Philippians chapter 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints. Now within that particular phrase, there's not a doubt in my mind, names came to mind. Names came to mind. Paul remembered how he met them. Paul remembered how they come to Christ. Paul remembered their story. See, every Christian has a story, amen? Every Christian has a story, where Christ found them, how Christ worked in their life, what Jesus done in their heart. And so Paul said to all the saints which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons, he said, I'm writing to not only to the saints that are there, he said, but I remember when leadership got established and how leadership began to guide that church and take that church to another level in its faith. He said this in verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I have fond memories when I think back on the church at Philippi. I have some wonderful memories of how you came to know Jesus. I have some wonderful thoughts that come to my mind. My heart bursts forth in praise. My being is filled with the joy of the Lord when I think about how we met and how we began to know one another and how you came to Christ and how God used me to help you. Now let's look at it. Acts 16. Would you turn there? The 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Before we go into a study on the book of Philippians, I want to give you a background on how the church was started and give you a background about some of the people sitting in seats just like you are this morning. See, there were people sitting in seats in a congregation just like you are. And Paul wrote them and he said, I'm writing you a letter. And we get to share that letter. We're going to write some of the things that Paul wrote to that church. Why? Because God preserved that. And he said, now I want the church that meets at Madison, the Fellowship Church that meets at Madison, he said, I want you, the Fellowship Baptist Church that meets here, I want you to do some of these things just like Paul wrote unto the church of Philippi. God preserved that letter. And he says, I want you to use this as a model for what you're doing today. Use it as a model. Do what God told Paul to tell those people. You do that and I'll be pleased with you. Acts 16. I want you to notice something. There's three things. Number one, I want you to notice that God called Paul to reach the lost. So here's a group of people that Paul, they're over here and they're lost. They're searching, as we shall see in a moment. They're searching. They're in darkness. And Paul has said, God, I'll go anywhere you tell me to go. I'll preach your message. Paul was always on the trail of sinners. Amen. When Paul got saved, he was on the trail. Listen, he used to be on the trail of Christians, persecuting them. But then God saved him and he got on the trail of sinners, converting them, getting them saved. Thank God for that, amen. Thank God for a man that has a burden to see people get saved. Thank God for that. And the Bible says in chapter number 16 of the book of Acts, notice if you would in verse number 9, chapter 16 and verse number 9, Paul said, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and we'll get back to this in a moment. There stood a man in Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Can you hear him? Hey, man, Paul heard him. Paul heard him calling. Come and help us. Say, preacher, I don't hear him calling. They're calling everywhere. They're calling by the things that they're doing to their self. They're calling by the apparel that they're wearing. They're calling by the deeds that they do. There's lost people. You say, preacher, the things that they do, they agitate me. It ought to burden you. It ought to burden you. It ought to burden me. The things that people do, the lives that they live, the way that they sink into deception and sin ought to burden our hearts. They're calling. You say, preacher, why do people do the things that they do? I'll tell you why. Because they're calling out for help. Some people do it by cutting themselves. Some people do it by doing just obscene and unreasonable things. Some people try to take their lives. Some people overdose. Listen, some people do just things that are unconscionable. But I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They're crying out for help. They're saying, my life is a wreck. My life is a wreck. I have no purpose. I have no peace in my heart. I don't know why I'm here. I'm just taking up space, and it wouldn't bother me just to go out into eternity and die. Listen, there's people all around us that have that mindset. As we sit here this morning with our hearts full of peace, as we sit here this morning with our sins forgiven and under the blood of Jesus, I want to assure you there are people all around us that are under the weight and the guilt and the load and the shame of their sin. They're calling out. They need help. You say, preacher, why don't they just come to Jesus? Well, the same reason you didn't, without some help. And the same reason I didn't, without some help. Thank God for the people who helped me to Jesus. Amen. Thank God for those who helped me to Jesus. I'm glad for the people that God put in the pathway of my life to help me to get to Jesus. God wants to put you in the pathway of some lost, burdened soul that is crying out, help me. Help me to get to Jesus. Man will never find Jesus without help. God uses people to help people, and I'm glad that he does. And so we have the call of the lost. Why? Notice what happens here. Paul said, listen, after he got converted, it changed Paul's life. It changed his life. I was telling our Sunday school, when I got saved, listen, I used to go to those old places, and when I got saved, I went back and I thought, well, these people will be glad that I'm saved. They'll give me a standing ovation. They'll say, man, we're glad old Dale got his life straightened out. We were concerned about old Dale Freeman, but now we're happy he got with Jesus. That didn't happen. Well, I'd go back and start telling about Jesus, and they'd scatter like rats, listen, on a sinking ship. When you get converted, you'll get concerned about souls. Paul got converted. He got concerned about souls. How concerned was he, preacher? I'll tell you how concerned he was. He was concerned in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 14. He said, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor, both to the Greek and to the barbarian. Right? He said, I'm a debtor. Who are you indebted to, Paul? He said, are you breathing? Yeah, I'm indebted to you. Amen. Who am I indebted to, preacher? If they're breathing, you're indebted to them. Tell them. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. Tell them what Jesus has done for them. If they'll just come. Paul was indebted. The call of the lost. Come help us. Come and help us. Conversion done that. Conviction done that. See, Paul knew what it was. He walked with God. It was Paul that God told, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Paul knew that. See, it was Paul God told that to tell the church at Rome. It was Paul that God told, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Conviction compelled him to help them. Amen. But it was also the possibility. It was the possibility. Paul was the one who wrote Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul knew if I could just get them to Jesus, he'll save them. Amen. If I can just get them to Jesus. But Paul, these people are worshiping the unknown God. They're worshiping idols. They're pagans, Paul. If I can just get them to Jesus, amen. If I can just get them to the foot of the cross, if I can just get them to the Son of God, if I can just get them under the spigot that spouts out the love of God, if I can just get them to God, their lives will change. God will receive them. God will save them, and their life will be different. See, Paul went after the lost. That's why Paul got this call. because God knew he would go. You say, preacher, I'm not hearing no calls. It might be because you've made a decision you won't go. Are you willing to tell anybody about Jesus? You say, well, I might lose my job. You think that bothered Paul? There were times it could have cost him his life. You know what those apostles said? We can't help but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen. Hey, they said, whether you think this is right or not, you be the judge. But we can't help but speak the things we've seen and heard. And whether we obey God or man, we're just going to choose to obey God. Amen. So the call of the lost. You see it there? The call of the lost. Watch this. Watch what happens here. The Bible says, not only there the call of the lost, but notice if you would, the company of the led. Notice in Acts chapter number 1, or chapter 16 and verse number 1, it says that they came, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. That's our man. That's who Paul addressed the letter of Philippi with. He said, that's my co-worker, Timothy. That's that young protege that I took under my wing and that I carried on that missionary journey with me so he could get him some good training and be a good fellow soldier in the work of God. You know what it is to be led of the Holy Spirit? Can I tell you there are Christians who know very little about the Holy Spirit? And brethren, there used to be a day when people knew and understood the ministry of God's Holy Spirit. It's not being taught in our churches any longer. And what is being taught is so far out of the Scripture that it's ridiculous. We need some good Bible teaching on the person of the Holy Spirit to understand His ministry. That's what I said, His ministry. He's a person. He is the third person of the Godhead. There's one God, but He is eternally manifested in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just a mere influence. He is a person. He is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit will lead you if you will allow Him to. That's what we've taught these young children in Vacation Bible School. When they were here every night, we taught them, listen, let God navigate your life. But if we're going to teach it to the children, we're going to have to do it more than just with our lips. We're going to have to do it with our lives. Let the children see God navigate our life. Amen? Let the children see that God navigates the pastor's life. God navigates the assistant pastor's life. God navigates the deacon's lives. God navigates the mission director's life. God navigates the children's church's life. God navigates the life of a Christian if we will allow Him to. Now, God will navigate your life. My question is He navigating your life? You say, will He do that? Watch this. Don't miss it now. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. Acts 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. See, this is the Holy Ghost saying, no, that's not where I want you. They said, we're going to go this way. He said, no. Is that what the Bible says? No, don't want you there. Now look at food in verse number 7. It says, they were come to Mysia. They essayed, which means tried, to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered, permitted. The Spirit suffered them not. No, don't go there. What's God doing here? The Spirit of God is navigating. He's getting Paul where He wants him, just like the Spirit of God will get you where He wants you. And the Spirit of God will get me where He wants me. Why? Because God has a plan for this missionary journey. And God says, I want to get you to a group of people that's waiting right over here. He said, I'm going to get you to them. Now, will God get you where He wants you? If you'll let Him drive, He sure will. Say amen with me now, church. Got to let Him drive. You got to let, listen, you say, well, Jesus is my co-pilot. You've got Him in the wrong seat. You need to, listen, you need to switch seats with Him. Actually, you need to get in the back. Amen. Amen. So what's happening here? We see the Holy Spirit of God navigating, guiding. Where are we going to go over here? Nope. Well, we're going to go over here. Nope. Look at you in verse number 8. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Now that's as far west as you can go in Macedonia until you come to the Aegean Sea. Now listen to me. And Paul said, well, now they called. been here and we just, how did God let them know? Well, it could have been outward circumstances. See, sometimes God guides through outward circumstances. Could have been some sickness, could have been some weather. We understand that. Say amen with me. See, God guides through outward circumstances, but he also guides through inward impulses. Don't you ever forget that. God could have impressed on their heart, and they could have had this uneasy impulse in their heart that said, nope, we're not here. You know what I'm talking about. If you know what it is to be led of the Holy Spirit of God, you know the discomfort and the uneasiness that God will stay on you when you're out of the place that God wants you. There'll be no peace. And so here's God guiding and navigating. You see, there was a call. Come on over. They said, well, we'll go over here. Nope. Forbidden. Well, we'll go over here. Nope. Suffered not. So they went as far as they could. And then God said, well, okay, you got that far. I'm going to help you out. Amen? That's why verse number 9 says what it says. See, when they went over here, God said, that's not it. They just kept following. Well, over here. Suffered not, verse 8. Verse 7, I'm sorry. Then verse number 8, they went that far. And then they came as far as Troas, as far as you can go, westward. And then God said in verse number 9, a vision appeared in the night and stood. A man of Macedonia prayed to him, saying, come on over and help us. And look at verse number 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Don't you miss this next phrase. This is one of the most important phrases that unlocks the key of how Paul went to Philippi. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. You know what that assuredly gathering means? All the pieces put in place. There's nothing like knowing that God is putting the pieces in place. One step at a time, one block at a time, God is building. Amen? God is moving. God is leading if you'll let him. If I'll let him. If we'll let him. So, need some help? Come and help us. Paul said, we'll go. Well, sometimes you don't just go right there. God will guide you over here, then guide you over here. What's he doing? He's teaching us to trust him. He's teaching us to follow him. He's teaching us to follow him. And so through outward circumstances and inward impulses, they get here and then God says, okay, now, from here, come. Now watch what they do. Don't you miss it now. Assuredly gathering, we knew that the pieces were in place. It's getting ready to happen. I want you to notice what verse number 11 says. Therefore, loosen from Troas. They pulled that anchor up and they're ready to go now. They know. We know where God wants us. Amen? See, if you'll follow God step by step, God will get you where he wants you to be. You believe that? Listen, this is what's missing today. Got a bunch of people running around aimlessly, calling themselves Christians, has no idea what God wants them to do in life. Miserable. Miserable. Out of place. Like a fish out of water. Why? They're not being led of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, we say that we believe the Bible. We say that we believe that God wants to get involved in the affairs of man, that God just hasn't created us and turned his back and left us to ourselves. Then we ought to let him lead us. Let him lead you. He wants to. He desires to. God will lead you. Listen, as many as are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8. He wants to lead you. He has a purpose for your life, and he'll guide you right to that purpose. He'll open doors or he'll shut doors, but he'll get you where he wants you. Now, they get, if you'll notice, when they, in verse number 11, they loose from Troas and they came on straight course through Samothracia, next to Neapolis, and from thence to, verse number 12 says where? Made it. Amen. Well, we're going to go over here. Not. We'll preach it here. We'll preach it where you want us to, God. We'll tell it everywhere. No, that's not what I want you right now. There's a group of people over here I got for you. Well, we've navigated. God has brought us here, and then God sent word and said, come on over. He's like, I want you right here. They found their way to Philippi. Now, that's our church, but it's not a church yet. It's just a little colony of Rome. Notice what the scripture says in verse number 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. That's the place that God wanted them. Now we're going to find out what the book of Philippians is doing in the Bible. What are all those teachings in the book of Philippians. What is God saying to that group of people? Who were those people? Here's my final point. It's got three parts. Listen carefully. Find yourself. I will guarantee you, if you're saved in the grace of God, you'll find yourself in what God's getting ready to do right here in Philippi. They made it to Philippi. All right? Listen, there's nothing like tracing back. You can do it. You can do it in chapter 18. You can do it at the church of Corinth. Remember, Paul was under stress, under burden. And God said, hey, Paul, don't you fret. Be bold, for I have much people in this city. Read it. It's right there in Acts chapter number 18. Acts 17, Thessalonica. The church of Thessalonica was birthed. Paul birthed that church. God did it. He used Paul to do it. Now, the church of Philippi. Notice what happens here. So Paul gets there. And what's Paul going to do? You say, well, I think Paul ought to get on a mountain and just start preaching. Well, watch what Paul does. It'll help you appreciate missionaries. The Bible says in verse number 13, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside. Well, that ain't what I ought to do, preacher. He's going to be a missionary. He needs to get him a storefront building. He needs to build him some brick and mortar. It's not what Paul did. Being led of the Spirit. Listen to me now. Led of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't lead everyone to do it the same way. God said, Paul, this way I want you to do it here. This way I want you to do it here. He said, there's a group of women down here, and they're praying. They're searching for something. The Bible says that on the Sabbath day, that by the river down there, in verse number 13, he said that they were down there by the river, and they were praying. And he said, we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman, verse number 14, named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira. I find it very interesting that God wouldn't let them go to Thyatira, but he let Thyatira come to them. Amen. And the Bible says that Lydia was there. Now, what was Lydia's, what kind of person was Lydia? Well, the Bible says in verse number 14 that she was a seller of purple. Now, this was a Roman royal color. And they wore it as part of their uniform and the higher up. Lydia was not, listen, don't you think Lydia was operating some consignment shop? Now, I'm not saying anything bad about consignment shops. We shop at consignment shops. So I'm not saying don't leave that preacher. He thinks don't do it. You shop at a consignment shop, God bless you. I'll probably see you there one day. All right? So don't think that. But I'm just telling you, that's not what the business Lydia was in. Lydia was she was a woman of means. She was working for the state. No doubt she was making purple for the Roman soldiers. She was a woman of means. She had a lot of material things. She was a person who had a lot, but yet she didn't have what really mattered. So she was searching. How about you? You know what this is? This is a person that somebody needs to have a conversation with. Watch what happens. She had a lot of things, but there was still something missing. She couldn't put her finger on it. The Bible says that she was there for prayer. In verse number 14, she was a seller of purple, and she wanted to worship God. She was there to worship God. And when Paul went, he sat down with her, and he began to have a little conversation. Look at the latter part of verse number 14. It says that God opened her heart that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Paul just sat down and had a conversation with her. Isn't that something? Maybe you got saved that way. Maybe someone just sit down in a break room. Someone sit down in my living room. See, I wasn't in a service like this. I wasn't in a service like this where a man was preaching and people raising their hands saying amen and people were singing for Jesus. I wasn't in a service like this. I was in my living room. And a man came and just had a conversation with me. And he told me about Jesus. And he gave me the Word of God. And I got under Holy Ghost conviction. And it changed my life forever. Maybe you're here. And somebody just sit down and had a conversation with you. You say, well, preacher, I feel like a preacher's got to preach before you can get saved. Well, that's not how Lydia got saved. Amen? And some of you, that's not how you got saved. Somebody just came to your home. Maybe they knocked on your door. And they came, you invited them in, they told you about Jesus. You ought to praise God that God sent them by your way. Maybe it was after work, you were walking out to your vehicle and that person that you have seen, they've been praying over their food, walked over to you and wanted to talk to you about Jesus, and you allowed them to, and they shared the gospel, and you bowed your head and trusted Christ through a conversation that someone had with you about Christ, changed your life. No doubt when Paul said, I'm writing to all those saints back in Philippi, he said, I remember how it got started. Went down by the river, and there was that group of women, and I talked to old Lydia. She had a lot of things, but nothing really filled her heart. She was still searching. She was searching because there was something missing in her life because she didn't know Jesus. He sat down with her, and the Bible says, and listen, what great words that the Holy Spirit chooses here. It says that when she heard us in verse 14, whose heart the Lord opened. God opened her heart, and Lydia saw the light. She got saved, and the Bible says in verse number 15, she was baptized and her household. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Remember when you got saved and you got baptized and you started telling your family about Jesus and they got saved? That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's how the church at Philippi got its start. Is that how you got in? Somebody just sit down with you and had just a conversation. Just sit down at your table and talk to you about Jesus. Maybe you got in this way. Look, if you would, in verse number 16. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So you have this psychic. You say, preacher, I get calls from psychics all the time. I used to. I remember on one occasion there was a woman called me and she said, I'm a psychic. And I said, well, that's good to hear. I said, so what good news you got for me today? She said, well, she said, if you will give me your credit card number and so much money, she said, then I will tell you what your future holds. I said, that's interesting. Very interesting. I said, well, since you're a psychic and you know, I said, you just tell me what my credit card number is. And she said, well, that's not the way it works. I said, well, I think it should. If you're going to tell me what I'm going to do tomorrow, you should be able to tell me what my credit card has on it right now. Right? Don't you fall for that stuff. Horoscopes won't navigate you through life. Psychics won't navigate you through life. You need the Holy Spirit of God to navigate you through life. So what happened here? The Bible says there was this young girl, this woman, this young damsel. She was possessed with the spirit. Verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You see it, verse 17? Verse 18, she did this many days, and Paul just finally said, you know, enough's enough. This is grieving me. And the Bible says Paul was grieved. He turned to the Spirit, and he said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out on the same hour. Maybe that's how you got in. Maybe it wasn't somebody sitting down having a conversation with you around the river in prayer, around in a more private setting. Maybe you had to have confrontation. That's what this is. So that was conversation. This is confrontation. Maybe somebody had to square you up and look you up and say, I tell you what, you might mock Jesus. You might think that what I'm doing is foolish, but one day you're going to wish to God in heaven that you would have listened to the message that God sent your way today. Amen. Listen, there's a lot of people in hell who didn't believe in it until they got there. But you won't have any problem convincing them of it now. Amen. You say, oh, preacher, you shouldn't say that. I'm not saying that mean-spirited. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't believe any Christian would want to see anybody go to hell. However, there are times when you have to eye somebody up and let them know. Now, let me tell you something. You may choose to reject this message. You may mock and scorn and ridicule the church of Jesus Christ. But one day you will bow to Jesus Christ's name. You will bow your knee and confess to God the Father that He is Lord. You have a choice. You can do it here and get forgiveness. Or you can do it yonder and reap the eternal punishment for your rejection. That's confrontation. Now, not everybody's going to get saved through confrontation. Some people, you sit down. Some people are Lydia. They're searching. They have a lot and they wonder, what am I missing? I've worked, I've gathered all these things, and there's something missing in my life. Somebody sits down and has a simple conversation with them. God opens their heart, they get saved, they get baptized, they get their family saved, and amen, they start church. But then you got this person. By the way, let me say this before I move on to my final point and close the message this morning. Do you notice what happened here? Everything this woman was saying was so. She said, oh, they're servants of God. These are good people. And somebody's going to get angry. I don't want you to get angry and get offended at me, but I want to just let you know something, okay? We're not bringing Hollywood in the church to endorse Jesus. The only endorsement we need is this book right here. That book endorses our Savior. Say, so, well, he done a backflip from 50 feet high. Well, that doesn't endorse him to talk about Jesus. He can hit us. He can hit a baseball 500 feet. He caught 55 touchdowns in one season. What's he done for Jesus? Amen. We don't need celebrities in Hollywood to endorse Jesus. We've got all the endorsement we need right here. Somebody say amen with me. Now listen, if they get saved, I'm glad. And I hope they do. Amen. I'm glad when they get saved. But Paul didn't need this endorsement. He said, enough of that. Enough of that. She got saved. So when Paul thought back on the church of Philippi, I think he thought about that girl. Don't you? Thought about that little slave girl. You say, was she a slave girl? Well, let's see what the Bible says here. Yeah, look, if you would, in verse number 19. When her masters, must have been a slave girl. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers and brought them, verse 20, into the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. Oh, okay, it's the preacher's fault. Let me see if I got this right now. This seems like a lot of thinking and a lot of mindset that we have today. Let's see now. So you are using this person for personal gain. You are asking her to bring you the money for what you have put her in bondage to do. But when the preacher confronts it and exposes it, now it's his fault. It's Fellowship Baptist Church's fault. You know what the problem with Gate Road is? Fellowship Baptist Church. That's the problem with Gate Road. That's the problem of Madison, Fellowship Baptist Church, if you follow the money. Fellowship Baptist Church is not the problem of Madison or Gate Road. This is the best thing to happen to Gate Road. One of the best things that happened to Madison. Amen. A Bible-believing church is the best thing that can happen to any community, Fellowship Baptist or otherwise. Amen. So listen, this person had it all wrong. Now let's move on and we close. So what happened? Well, they got thrown in jail. The Bible says in verse number 23, they laid many stripes upon them and cast them into prison, charging the jailer. There he is. Here's our next convert. Don't know it yet. Been going about his business for who knows how long. And then one day he got a call to lock a couple of guys up. Who? Oh, these old religious bigots. These old religious people that out causing up trouble. Stirring up trouble. What? Well, they're just setting people free. That kind of trouble. Right? Setting people free. I tell you, them old preachers, they'll just mind their own business. When I'm trying to get you saved, I am minding my business. That's what God called me to do. Amen. I wouldn't be worth my salt if I wasn't trying to get people saved. Say amen now, folks. So here we go. So you know the story about the jailer. So the Bible says that they thrust them in verse number 24 into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now if that would have been today's preachers, a lot of these soft preachers of today, they'd have been calling, you know, the church, send some Tylenol. How about sending the deacons out there with a picket sign and tell them, you know, free Dale Freeman. Free Dale Freeman. This ain't fair. That's not what Paul and Silas did. Amen. Paul and Silas said, we've got a higher authority. We didn't come here of our own volition. Yes, we did, but we were sent here. We didn't just choose this place. God sent us here. God sent us here for a purpose, and God has a work to do, and God's going to complete that work. When you believe that, listen to me, when you believe that, nothing will stop you. Nothing will stop you. Threw them into prison. Verse number 25 says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard. I won't go into detail of this. I'll tell you this. So that old Philippian jailer, when he came running in there, in verse number 30, the Bible says they brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" There's never been a greater question in all of heaven and earth been asked. What must I do to be saved? Well, if you ask Jane Fonda, you don't have to do anything because there's nothing to get saved from. But we're not asking Jane Fonda. We're asking the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You ask the liberals, well, what do I need to do to get saved? You ask the legalists, what do I do to get saved? Well, they say, well, just do a bunch of good things or just sign up for every program or just do that or you can do it on your own or you're as good as you are. You're fine. You'll make it on your own, son. No, you won't. Notice what the Apostle Paul said in verse number 31. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thine house. Amen. So that's how the church of Philippi was started. And so when Paul wrote back to this church, and by the way, you can read again on down through there, verse 32 through 34, the Philippian jailer, they went to his house, he bound up their wounds, and boy, they just had them a time. They just had them a time. That's how this church got started. And then Paul was over in Thessalonica. He fell upon hard times. And this church heard about it. Just like we hear about missionaries from time to time, and we come before you and we say, hey, listen, let it be the favor of the church that we would send so-and-so amount of money to help them out. Well, that's what happened. That's what happened. Paul was over in Thessalonica. He said to the church of Philippi, he said, you sent once and again to my necessity while I was there. So they said, Epaphroditus, come here. We're going to talk about it. We're going to read about it right here in the book of Philippians. Epaphroditus, come here. We got a gift we want you to carry the Apostle Paul out on his missionary journeys. He's fell on hard times. And so they carried that gift to Apostle Paul. It helped him out in a hard time. Just like we heard this morning about that camp, Brother Moore. Paul continued on that ministry there. And that church got on its feet and it began to flourish. And Paul said, what a church. What a ministry that God has built there in Philippi. At the church at Philippi. So when Epaphroditus came back, Paul said, I'm going to write him a letter. And that's what that letter's about. I'm going to write him a letter. And that's why we have the book of Philippians in the Bible. Because people got saved. And people began to grow and they began to form a church and they had bishops and deacons, pastors and leadership. And those people that got saved, I don't know, maybe Lydia head up the women's ministry. I don't know. Maybe she had a husband. He became one of those deacons that Paul was speaking of in verse number 1 of Philippians chapter 1. Who knows? Maybe that Philippian jailer became a leader in the church there. We don't know what happened. See, that's what's happened to many of you. You got saved. Many of you got saved through the ministries of this church here. Some before I even came here. In some sense. Somebody sit down with you. They came to your home. They sit down with you and they talk with you about Jesus. You got saved and look, here you are. Serving God. Serving God in the local church. Some of you said, I'll not do it. I'll not do it. I'm not going to serve God. And you laughed and you mocked and you scorned. And somebody stood and they confronted you about that. And that confrontation is what got you to thinking. And you got saved by the grace of God. Is that you? Maybe you're like that jailer, took a crisis, you know, big tough jailer, you know, in a colony of Rome. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm my own man. Till you get that phone call and say you got 2 months to live. Till your child gets sick and there's nothing you can do. Till your wife walks away. Right? Crisis drives a lot of people to Jesus. It does. How did you come to know him? Paul tells us the story. I'm just glad I know him. Let's stand to our feet. And we're going to study this book together. It'll help you. It'll help you to be here and learn why God moved on this man and said, I want you to write that church a letter. I want you to tell him. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. That's the background of the church at Philippi. How'd you come to know Christ? The pianist is going to begin to play. Perhaps God took you back to that time when you got saved. Somebody just had a confrontation with you and just told you, now listen, you need Jesus. And they confronted you about your need. Maybe somebody just sat down and had a conversation with you. They just began to talk and they told you they care about you. They began to answer questions that you had about the Bible. You were seeking and you didn't fully understand. And they took the Word of God and they answered your questions and they showed you more clearly. And God opened your heart like He did Lydia. And you received Jesus as your Savior. You ought to praise God for that. Then maybe it was a crisis. Something happened and you thought your life was in jeopardy. Just like that Philippian jailer, he's getting ready to run himself through. And Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. He trusted Christ as his personal Savior. Paul said, when I think about those individuals, it brings me joy. It's my crown in heaven. While these are praying, is there someone here today that would say, preacher, I'm not a Christian. I do not know Jesus as my personal Savior. And I want you to pray for me. Is there anyone like that here today? God spoke to my heart, preacher. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. Showed me my lost condition. And I want you to pray for me. I'm lost and I don't want to die in that condition. Pray for me, preacher. Anyone like that? Anyone this morning that we could pray for? Is there a Christian that would say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I'm saved. I just need to get back in fellowship with the Lord, and I need to get back to where I can worship the Lord and walk with God and work with God. I just want to serve God with my life. I've gotten off track and I need to get back on track. Would you pray for me, preacher? Could I see your hand? Anyone like that this morning? God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I see your hand there. God bless you, sir. Who else? I just need to get on track. God bless you, ma'am. I see your hand there, ma'am. God bless you. If you'll tell the Lord that you want to serve Him and that you're sorry for your sin, ask Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. He'll fill you for service. Do what is right. Do the right thing. It may not be popular, but it'll help you. It'll bring you peace. Give you direction in your life. Father, I pray